You thought the beef and cheddar couldn't get any more delicious. And then Arby's added bacon to it. And you thought, oh, okay, now, okay, but it can't get any better than that. And then Arby's made them 2 for $6. And then you thought, okay, but now, it can't get any better than that. And you were right. The bacon, beef, and cheddar. 2 for $6. Arby's, we have the meat.
At participating Arby's for a limited time.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rungren Radio Cruiser Mail. I started the show at 7 instead of 7:30 for some reason because I've become a crazy old man. But here
okay.
We are. We've got an hour and a half. We're going to do post Todd Stock East show.
You would think that you and I had been there because we're acting goofy.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. You don't sound like you normally do after an event, so...
No, I have a voice this time, so guess what? I wasn't there, but I want to hear all about it.
That's the plan tonight. We're going to talk about post-Todd Stock East. We're going to have callers that were there. We've got some scheduled, but we also want people who are not scheduled to call us. The number is 646-716-9262. If you were at Todd Stock East, we'd love to hear your story, what you thought about it, et cetera. Before we get started, though, I do have a couple things I wanted to get into.
Yeah, break it down.
Let's start with Rungren Radio. Wishing Julie Feldman a happy 60th birthday. She has claimed that it's... Yeah, how about that? 60. We are very happy that she had a 60th birthday. Julie, if you don't know, is one of the nicest, sweetest, hippiest Todd fans out there from Florida. And
oh, yeah.
Everybody loves her. And if you don't, if I find somebody who doesn't, I'm going to show you what a hopeless and helpless person looks like, because that's who that would be. Happy birthday, Julie Feldman, 60. Rock on, sister. All right, then I wanted to make sure that we congratulated Mark Mo Bagley, Mark Mo Love, who pulled off this Todd Stock East, which we haven't called it that yet, but we're going to go ahead and say it now. Successful event. Clearly, from the pictures and the feedback, this event was rocking it.
Yeah.
Even Todd admitted it, some oddness to it, that it was going to be in Virginia, out of nowhere. People freaked. There was the wait list issues. There were other things. So it's kind of a crazy start, but that doesn't really matter. What ultimately matters is what is the end result. And Cruiser Mail, I like to look at these kind of things and say, okay, the litmus test is, would I go again? And I don't think we're going to find anybody that was there that will say I wouldn't do it again. So that is a successful event.
I would bet on that bet out in Vegas for sure. Yeah, it looked like everybody had the time of their lives. They put up with a bunch of rain and a bunch of heat. I haven't heard anything about chiggers or whatever, so better than the second Todd Stock so far, just on the chigger front. But, we're going to hear a lot of good news tonight.
Yeah, so fun times, a lot of events, a lot of classes, I guess you would call it, ukulele class. There was a... painting class that Veggie and Prairie did. The
songwriting class by Chasm.
The ukulele class was Greg Hawks, I believe. So some big names. Of course, Secret Society busted out there in front of 300 or so people for the first night. So I think that's the biggest crowd they've had. So it's exciting for them. And then they end up doing a lot more from what I understand. And they got to perform with Bobby Strickland, which they've done before. But Bobby Strickland, Greg Hawks. There's somebody new they had not performed with yet. Maybe it was Greg Hawks. Yeah, Greg Hawks and Chasm. Just a good time for them. A great event for them, for sure. Dan Stiklunas debuted as their latest and greatest drummer. And he did well, of course. He drums with the Hermits of Mink Halloween as well. So, good stuff.
We're going to have some big old super band at some point at this point.
Yeah, it's good to have it. It's good to show Todd the appreciation of the music. I'm glad he got to see them play. And there's 3 more Todd Stocks, so if you missed this one and you're looking at photos, you're probably regretting it and going, damn, I should have gone to that. Well, guess what? You can go to Scotland, you can go to Australia, or you can go to the United States of America and go to California in October. Totaru in Australia is in October, and the next one is coming up. I mean, I'm talking
Scotland's pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm in early July over in Scotland. The information, you can find it at toddstock-2018.com. It has all four of them on there now. There's just three left. Todd made a statement today. Danny had posted on Facebook about his surprise at what a success it was, I guess, for lack of a better term. And how, and I'm thinking he was referring more to the idea of doing four of them, that it's gonna work. It's going to pay off. So he was clearly thrilled with the first one. So maybe they get better, maybe they don't, but they're all going to be good, and they're all going to be fun, and they're all going to be including good people and good Todd fans. So look forward to those coming up, and we'll do shows for those as well. And we hate it we didn't get to do shows during this Todd Stock East, but the cell coverage was zero at the party spot, so we were unable to get anybody on the phone. So if anybody's called in that wants to talk, you have to press 1 so that we know that you do. Otherwise, we're going to assume you just want to listen. So press 1 if you're one of the people we're expecting to call, or somebody that wants to tell us their story about Todd Stock, and we'll be happy to hear your story about Todd Stock. Speaking of, there's a cool tie-dye T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you didn't go, you can buy it. Todd Stock 7.0 T-shirt on Todd Store's website, toddstore.com. It's very nice looking if you want to check that out. People were excited about it, even the people that didn't go. I don't know if the people went got one of these or something else. Usually they give you a T-shirt, so I don't know. We'll find out maybe tonight. We hope to hear tonight about there was an inflatables party, which that means there were inflatables that were related to Todd songs or something to do with Todd, like a tiki hut or a golden goose, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of music that Shall Better Brothers debuted. And you've probably seen the video online of them doing Born to Synthesize. Probably some of the younger people there. There were a family there running the farm. We'll find out about they had some younger people there. But anyway, good turnout, good times. And Mel and I are going to just kind of tuck back seat tonight because we weren't there. We're going to let the people that were tell you what it was like and share their stories. And we'll just maybe ask a few questions here and there. And you're welcome to call in and ask them questions too. Again, the number 646-716-9262. We got our first caller, which I think maybe Jamie, let's see. But 423, tell us something.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
This is Mark.
This is Rick Yarbrough.
Ricky boy, what's happening, man? I saw you and Patty having a good time over there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it was a ultimate vacation / Todd Stock / honeymoon.
Awesome. You did go there for real for your honeymoon, right?
Did you say honeymoon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Y'all tied the knot?
Yes.
Did you do it there?
Well,
tying the knot.
With,
I love it.
Well, yeah, it was an unbelievable week. I mean, the time, Todd was so, I was amazed that they were so intimidated and wouldn't even approach Todd. And Todd was there to spend time with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike meet and greets, you know, where it's like, you know, it's all press time and you can't really just sit down and trade stories. And I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you one right now. It was my favorite. And Patty started. I looked over and they're sitting in the dining, I guess you call the dining hall, the tent, where we always eat. I look over there, and there's Patty sitting across from Todd talking to him. So I walked over, and I sat down, and I said, what are we talking about? She said, well, Patty just asked me about my tooth incident. And apparently there's been a lot of rumors about when Todd busted his tooth. And so he proceeded to tell us the tale step-by-step of how it happened. And John, Michelle's brother, was sitting there with us too. So it was me and John and Todd and Patty. And so he proceeds to tell us that they were on a hike. Of course, Todd's brother Robin was on the hike too. I found out later when I was talking to Robin later, he was on the hike too. And Todd was telling us that this hike they go on in this creek, there's these huge boulders. And every time it rains really a lot, these boulders move. So every time they go on a hike along this place, it always changes. And Todd, I guess he was like, like I was when I was a little kid. They're all barefooted, and he's hopping from boulder to boulder. And this one hop, he kind of went too far. And he told me, he said, if I had not put my hands out, you know, in front of himself, he said, I would have died. He said, and when I came up, he said, my tooth was just dangling. And I looked at John and said, yep, it was. I saw it happen. And they were like miles away. I mean, they weren't close to anywhere for like medical attention or anything. And then he proceeded to, you know, to talk about his teeth and, you know, problems with teeth too. And he doesn't really have any teeth anymore. And he's, you know, had all of them replaced. And his doctor prescribes him to Alcyon, I think it's called. Because he says, when he, you know, Patty asked me if he liked to go to the dentist, and he said, no. He said, my doctor gives me 2 Alcyon, and I don't remember anything he does ever. He said, the problem is I lose a whole day of my life. He said, because when I do come out of it, I still don't have any part of the rest of the day that I can remember. But anyway, that was really cool getting him to explain that. And then I asked him a question. This is probably redundant to a lot of Rundgren fans, but it was one I've always been curious about. So I figured I'd ask him. I said, Todd, I said, the song by the Yardbirds, The Naz Is Blue, did that have anything to do with the naming of the Naz? He said, absolutely. That's why we named it the Naz, B-side of Happening 10 Years Time Ago. And he started singing Happening 10 Years Time Ago, and then me and Patty and John, the show brother, we all 4 sang Happening 10 Years Time Ago there at the picnic table.
Wow. What a great experience, man. That's awesome.
Oh, it was great. It was great. He was so great. It's like, you know, he was so nice. He was like that with everybody, you know, and I didn't see anybody really trying to hog time with him. You know, it's like I'd feel when it was time to go, because when we got done with that, I said, look, I got to go get my white shirt on. My white Secret Society shirt on, because it's white out tonight. And he said, I got to go change my wardrobe too. So anyway, and then we got to go tubing with him and got to go on the hike and got to ride in the car with Michelle and Todd, you know, and Rack. Yeah, we went.
What do you mean a car? What kind of car? Why was there a car out there?
It was a big SUV.
Who was driving?
Michelle was the driver. We were heading over to the Sedalia Center. Debbie Summer contacted me, and she posted on Facebook, does anybody need a ukulele case? So I said, well, I bought a ukulele, but all I got was this cloth thing that came with mine. She said, well, if I bring it so I don't have to take it back to San Francisco, you can have it. So she had forgot to bring it the first morning, so that afternoon we were getting ready to go back to the Sedalia Center, and we were looking to catch a shuttle, and Michelle saw. She said, "Patty, Rick, were y'all going to Sedalia Center?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Hop in." So we hopped in the car with her and went to the Sedalia Center. And she said, "I wanted to see Todd anyway." And Todd was doing his tech talk seminar thing.
Hey, I got 2 questions for you, Rick.
Yeah,
one is Todd's tech related, one is not.
Right.
Where did you and Patty meet?
We met at a Rundgren Radio birthday bash.
In Akron?
It's all because of you all. Yeah. Well,
no. Was it in Akron?
Apparently about, well, a year. It was, she had noticed me a year before, and then we consider our anniversary Columbus.
I was going to say, I thought it was
29.
Columbus.
Yeah,
okay.
That, we consider that our anniversary. That was when we knew for sure that we were, like, together. For
that was
sure.
I am so
remember
how
you met with y'all at the Harvest Peaches.
It was really fun. I remember I had a cramp in my leg, and I forgot my wallet at the hotel, and I was so embarrassed because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't buy anything. And you were so generous, and I'm bad about letting people, you know. You noticed that, I'm sure.
Well, Rick, so I had – did you happen to mention to Todd, I believe they're yours,
that you had photos of him with the Sales Brothers.
With the what? The Sales Brothers.
The Sales Brothers. Aren't those your photos?
Yeah.
Did you say anything to him about it?
No, I didn't. No, we didn't get around to that.
Now, you're the only person I know that's got any, I think. Those are amazing.
I have showed Michelle the photo I took of Todd on the second show in Warren, Ohio, where he had, was at the makeup table, and he got up, and I got a – I had the – remember the old Polaroid cameras that you snapped it and flashed, and the photo pops out? Well, it was Peter Frampton's camera opened up, and then we walked backstage right after they got off. And we walked backstage, and Todd's at a table, and it's a, I can send it to you. I don't want, it's a wild photo of Todd. I mean, bright red lipstick and multicolored hair, and he's in that outfit, you know, that he's wearing in that, you know, first Utopia. With Hunt and Tony Sales and Dave Mason and M Frog, you know, and it's anyway, I showed it to Michelle in Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
and she just laughed. She said, "Oh my God, did his boy see this?"
Mark Nathan didn't think
it was the ultimate glam rock picture of Todd.
I mean, Mark Nathan one time I noticed on Facebook said it wasn't Todd. I'm like, yes, it is, and I think you may be the only one who has photos of Dave Mason in concert. What a great guy he was. He was a guest on here, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go back.
Yeah, sure.
Were you part of this, I guess it's pronounced Holy Activity, Holi or whatever, where they did all the colorful dye on people?
No. I wished I had after I saw the photos.
It's pretty funny. Yeah,
I kind of wished I had. It was some kind of a dry stuff that they threw on. And it didn't really do anything until you got wet. And then, of course, if you got wet, and then people went and took showers and couldn't get it off.
Oh, that's a who.
Part of Todd's hair actually stayed pink. He couldn't get it out. The white part, he turned pink, and he couldn't get it out. And so it was, it's like, I'm glad, I wished I had, but, you know, because it had been fun to have a picture taken all, you know, multicolored, but I wasn't a part of that. You couldn't do everything, you know, there was no way, there were too many activities. It was, Prairie was, God, what a great guy, man, and Lynn, and there are in the art and crafts place. I did my first ever painting of any kind, and I painted a ceramic frog. I walked into the room and I said, Prairie, I said, look, I just need to get started. I said, this guy took a hit of acid this morning. I said, get me started. He said, paint his stomach green. I said, all right, I'm going to do that. I said, if I need any more help, I'll holler for you. He said, you do it. So, but I never did that fast for him. I got started and it was like, I knew I was either going to get into it. And it was the most relaxing thing I've never been an artist. I don't know about canvas stuff, but I'm going to be painting objects, rocks, you know, blank ceramic forms and stuff. It was so much fun. Oh, I'm so glad they did that. And then the ukulele lesson, that you talking about frustrating. You know, I learned C and G, and I'd go C, and then by the time I'd get to G on one world, everybody else was like seven notes ahead of me. Greg Hawks has got to be, of everybody, of all the musicians, he's the easiest to talk to, and he's a wonderful guy. Yeah, he tuned my ukulele for me, and it was, I mean, I could go on and on, and I don't want to hog this. Certainly somebody else is going to call in and share their experience. Why don't you tell them? Did you see any of the photos where we can't remember his name, and he hasn't. He had a big shaggy hair and a big beard, and he did something anyway. So Todd started the cutting with scissors to give him a haircut for money, and everybody was bidding. And they got, you know, if you pay $20, you got like first, I think Catherine Sauer got the first.
Yeah,
she She bid $20, and she got the first big clip of the beard.
Then they got 50.
Then, and 50. I don't know how much they actually raised. But anyway, they raised money cutting this guy's hair and beard. And then they got down to where...
I think that was the owner of the farm.
Yeah.
I believe.
No, that wasn't the owner of the farm. No.
I thought it was.
No,
it was one of, somebody named Coleman.
It might have been somebody, but it wasn't Farmer Ben. No.
No, okay.
Anyway,
well,
the funny part is they started getting down where Todd was just using the scissors. They got down to where you had to use shears, you know, and Michelle said, Patty, we need a hairdresser, because Patty used to be a hairdresser. So Patty went up there, and then Todd had flashlights and shined it, and she started, you know, finishing off using scissors. Rick, you need to go to the tent, get the scissors. She has these special little scissors, you know, that you use with the comb, you know, to trim it down. And she gave him a good haircut. But it was funny. I mean, I got the pictures of Todd shining the light on the head behind Patty, you know, and they did it together. It was a teamwork.
There you go.
That was fun. Yeah. And like I said, the tubing trip and the hike, I mean, and all the friends, my goodness, all the friends we already had and all the new friends, which that's what it's all supposed to be. So,
Rick, that's a good point you make. Ultimately, the after these events, what happens for if this is one of your first ones, I think for most people anyway, I don't want to speak for everybody.
Yeah,
but you missing the people you met, and you want to start being with people again. And then before you know it, you'll start going to concerts or events or whatever to see these people again. And before you know it, you'll show up at Todd concerts and you'll have the people there. It's a beautiful thing. So
yes,
ultimately,
yes.
Events are great, but what happens after the events, in my opinion, are really what ends up being the better part of the deal.
Yep.
Long-term relationships, fun times, more parties, more events. Todd, it was genius for him to do the first one, to do this one. It's a great way to get people together, get people to meet each other, bring in new fans, bring in new friends. It's an awesome experience. But we appreciate the call, Rick. We got Jamie on hold. We're going to get in it with him.
Excellent. Can't wait to listen, man.
All right.
Love you,
congrats,
Doug.
If it wasn't for you,
Patty wouldn't be here in Tennessee with me.
I don't know.
All right.
I like
love
credit
y'all.
For being Cupid, so I'm going to go with that. But congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, man. Happy. I'm glad you got to go on honeymoon. All right. So, actually, there's another honeymoon. I don't know if it's private or not, so I'm not going to say anything, but there is a couple going to Todd Scott that's celebrating their honeymoon because they did not have one when they were officially married. So, this is going to be it. So, it's a cool story. All right. So, we got Jamie Van Wert with us, which is awesome because he's going to be able to tell us probably a ton. And I can just put mute on and listen to Jamie. Go at it. What's happening, man?
Hey, Doug. Hey, Mel. How's everybody doing?
Excellent.
We're all good.
Good, good, good. Yeah, Todd Stock was an amazing, amazing week. It was such a joint effort by so many people, and it just turned out fantastic. I could probably give you the musician perspective because I didn't get to attend a lot of the events because Secret Society played opening night on Sunday night, and then we spent most of our time in rehearsal studio with the fan musicians and with the direction of Bruce Whetstone. We put together a band called the Eclectic Eels, and those folks entertained every other night from Monday through Thursday, and even they contributed on Friday as well.
Well, Jamie, let's cut to the chase. If you're going to give us the musician perspective. Now, I wasn't there, but I'm going to guess, and I'm pretty confident that I'm correct, that the winner, the thing that will go down as legendary and be talked about the most, was the evening that everybody sang camp songs with Todd. Tell us about that.
Yeah,
there's a big campfire, and I don't know if it was Michelle that yelled out, is there an acoustic guitar? and somebody held up an acoustic guitar, and Daniel Eisbeck from the Secret Society band and I were standing next to each other, and I told him, I said, grab the guitar and come with me. So we went through the crowd, and Todd and Michelle were gathering around the campfire. They were sitting down, so Daniel and I positioned ourselves right next to Todd and Michelle, and we played maybe 40 songs. We started with Beatles songs. We started doing Todd songs. Then we started doing You Lost That Love and Feeling. And we were, our vocal cords.
So everybody, even people, though, that aren't musicians, were at this deal and were able to sing along the songs that they probably knew that you were doing with Todd and Daniel, right? Is that
it was it was amazing. And then it wasn't only Daniel and I and Todd, and you know, there was other guys. Chuck came in with the accordion later, which Todd was, it's amazing, Todd's been a musician his whole life, and he was just fascinated by this accordion, and he started playing some the lady from Ithania, I don't even know if that's how you pronounce the word, but when he started playing that, Todd said, this is exactly what I need. But it was insane. It was just, there had to be 100 people around the campfire, if not more. And
so this was an unplanned event, this deal?
Kind of, sort of. The campfire, I guess, was an event. And then, you know, I think they thought it was going to be like the little, you know, kumbaya around the campfire. And it just became so raucous and out of control. And people were, when they started playing the accordion, the women were dancing around the fire, and Todd saying, see, the accordion player gets all the women going. And, you know, he was amazed by the accordion.
That's awesome. That sounds like a lot of
fun. I
believe
he had met that accordion 10 years ago at the first Todd Stock.
Right, but I'll tell you what, he acted as if he had never, he didn't see one up close because he was fascinated by it.
Oh, wow. Well, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But, that was a great musical night. I think the highlight for the Secret Society band was because of the weather, we got delayed on Sunday night, so we had to cut our set short. So what we did is the members of Todd's band that were going to play with us on Sunday night, we opened up Tuesday night, which was Todd and Utopia night with the fan bands. We opened up with Jesse played Black and White with us. Greg Hawks played Just What I Needed with us. Prairie Prince played drums on Open My Eyes. Chasm and I did Forgotten But Not Gone. Bobby played sax. Actually, he brought Greg up too on Dust in the Wind. So that was just unbelievable.
So what was this band that you said was that y'all had formed, a sub-band of some sort called the Eels?
These were participants that showed up and brought their instruments, and we met in the rehearsal studio every day at 9 a.m., and there were different theme nights. There was a blues and rock night on Monday, Todd and Utopia on Tuesday, Beatles on Wednesday, and Thursday was just kind of like mixed bag, and they really brought it. They did a lot of hard work in the rehearsal studio, and they entertained the troops every night. And there was so much live music from on every night. It was just fantastic.
And Todd would be in the audience every night?
Pretty much, yeah. I saw him. I didn't see him when we played on Sunday night, but I was told he was there from the beginning. And our last song was One World, and over at the grill, they were making pizza and burgers every night. I forget what time that started, but he knew that was our last song. And he said to someone, I'm going to get a burger, because he knew once we were done, there'd be 150 people in line for burgers.
Nice.
Man.
Now, I love talking about Secret Society, and I love Secret Society. But I want to hear about the Shalbetter kids. I call them kids. They're kids to us. They're in their 20s.
Yeah, the twins.
The twins.
They performed to some customized backing tracks that they made in their home studio, and they opened up with a version of Born to Synthesize, which was just amazing. And then they did Can't Stop Running, and they did a great job. I talked with them, and I guess, you know, this is their goal, maybe to do some Todd music with a more contemporary mix on it. So wait to see what comes with them.
I can confirm that they're up to something, no doubt. Something good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Other than that, I sat in for Chasm's songwriting class, which was awesome. Even though it has to do with music, although there was music, Dode gets some dap for having the greatest after-hours bar in the history of after-hours bar, because the Todd Stock bars were open from 5 to 11, and then at 11 o'clock, the hardcore drinkers made their way to Dode's place, and there was a lot of fun there, too.
Awesome.
What a report Jamie.
And one more musical thing. There was the spontaneous campfire music. Also, we were kind of sitting around one afternoon. I don't know if it might have been Thursday or Friday. I can't remember. And Prairie came out with a bag of drumsticks. And I can't remember the name of the musical instrument drum that he was playing. It's like a big, big drum. And he had another smaller one. So he handed one to Dan Stiklunas, and he gave him he didn't give him six, playing a rhythm. And then Dan started to follow him. And then he turns to me, and he says, come on. And I was drinking a beer. I emptied my beer cup, which was plastic. And I grabbed a drumstick, and I was tapping on the bottom of the empty beer glass. So then Kenny, who was one of the drummers in the fan band, he grabbed a couple of sticks, and he was started to tap out a rhythm on a piece of timber that was laying there. And within about 5 minutes, we just had a growing drum circle, and people, you know, were grabbing shakers, tambourines. And then Prairie turned to me, and we were waiting on the rain, and he said, sing a rain song. So, and again, the beat's going, the beat's going. So we started to sing Rain by the Beatles.
Of course.
And yep. The funniest thing was, we did Rain, and we're going, and he goes, sing another one. Well, I started singing Feel It from, the Todd song, but Todd had originally wrote it for the Tubes.
Right.
So I started to Feel It, and Will, he knew the song. He was across me. He was singing. Prairie turns to me. He goes, what song is this? And I'm like, you're kidding, right? and then all of a sudden it hit him. Okay, it's Feel It. I played drums on this song. In 1985.
Oh my God! Well, we're playing She's a Beauty. Yeah. All right, so
yeah.
I'm gonna put the pressure on you. 6:30. We're gonna be with you too here in a minute. Thanks for holding. I want to give you an opportunity because I know you're eloquent and you can make this work. I want you to tell me how much Bruce Whetstone has to do with the success of this deal.
Well, Bruce. Literally, if it was not for Bruce Whetstone, there would have been no fan music at this, or if there was, it would be completely diminished, because Bruce was in charge of basically organizing every day's musical activities, organizing the rehearsals. We were there to assist him, but he had put together the set list and had contacted musicians. So everybody that was there had a chance to participate, and every night was great. Every night there was like a signature song that just blew the whole night away. Soul Sacrifice was that song by the fan band on Friday night. On Todd night, it was Bang the Drum. There's probably 10, 12 musicians on stage, and they did Bang the Drum. They totally nailed it. On Beatles night, it was Robert did a version of Helter Skelter, which was just amazing. An amazing collaboration. And yeah, if not for Bruce, it would have been somewhat mundane, if non-existent.
Wow. Yeah, I know, he's quiet, but he works behind the scenes and makes that shit happen, no doubt. So we're going to get with this 6-3. They've been a whole 50 minutes, but tell me what, if you had to pick a couple, maybe one, what was your favorite moment of the week?
Oh, wow. Lynn Stone was sitting on a chair, and she motioned to me, and she asked me to do her a favor, and she reached into her bag, and she pulled out her ukulele, which on the front had been signed by, you know, Greg Hawks and Todd and all that. And she flipped it over on the back, and she said, "I want you to sign my ukulele." And I laughed. I said, "You don't want me to sign your ukulele?" And she goes, "Yeah." She goes, "I want Secret Society to sign my ukulele." She goes, "Well, Daniel has already signed it."
Nice.
I said, "You really don't want me to sign your ukulele?" And I said, "Why do you want me to sign your ukulele?" She goes, "Because I love you." And she brought me to tears. I signed it, and there's a picture of us on Facebook. And if you look closely, you can see the tears in my eyes.
I believe you. Lynn Stone, she is one of the greatest. Absolutely. Good people. That's a great story, man. So, hey, if you don't mind, I don't know if you're busy or not, but if you can stay on hold, because I don't know what 630, how long that's going to last, and we may come back to you if that's cool. But if you can't, I understand.
And we've also got a 330 that it doesn't appear that she has pressed 1, but she's
330, press 1 for us. We know who that is, I think. Let's go to 630, and Jamie, maybe we'll come back. Great stories from Jamie Van Wert, Secret Society lead singer. 630, you're with us.
Hey there. This is Carol Beatty. How you doing?
Hey,
Carol.
What's up?
Hey. Haven't talked to you guys in a while, but love you just the same.
Yep. So you were there.
I was there. So I wanted.
I haven't
to
seen any pictures of you. Did you take your dogs?
No dogs. Mm. Boy, without the internet, it was a little tough for some picture postings, and some pictures shall not be posted as well. You know how that goes.
I guess that's what I want to hear. I want to hear those stories, but maybe off the radio. All right, cool. So how was it for you? Great week?
Well, it was a great week. So I wanted to give a little bit of perspective. Alan Miro and myself, we decided to kind of educate people on the nature of the area. So Alan led a plant hike where he went out and was identifying the different plants, particularly poison ivy, of which it was very prevalent.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. I had not heard about that.
Yes, yeah, so that was really neat. This property that the Coleman farm was fantastic. This mountain run farm, it was just gorgeous. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. So we had the plant hike. So he did kind of that kind of side of nature, and then me being the birder girl, I led a birding hike. So that was pretty fun. So we got this, you know, asked people to bring binoculars, and we hiked around, so that was really fun. But the farmer, Ben Coleman, who owns the farm, you know, he was giving both Alan and I insight into some of the different areas and what they're doing with the land. They've got I'll just go into a little bit of birding. The bobwhite is a quail that has become more and more rare, and they have them on their site, and we actually got to see them. And Ben is saying that he's starting to preserve some of the area, not mowing it, and doing some things to preserve the habitat for this bird. So these folks are very nature minded. It was really very cool.
Very nice.
Nice.
Those
let me
definitely
ask
hit.
About the
yeah.
farm. Everyone's been referring to it as a farm. What's the crop there? Is there a crop, or was
well,
that a, the
I'll
wrong terminology for calling it a farm?
Well, it is a farm. They've got they've got cows, they've got sheep, they've got chickens. We didn't see all of the animals. They've got a apiary, they've got bees, and they sell the meat and things, and I think I'm correct in saying that those burgers that Jamie mentioned at night and some of the other food was from the farm.
Oh, Lord.
And so fresh meat, it was really very good. And I met another gentleman named Mark, and I will post a picture because this guy's like 6'4", and his beard is, I don't know how long this guy's beard is, so I got a nice hug from the mountain man. And and he came along on the bird hike as well, and he said he was a, you know, a customer of this Mountain Run farm. So they so sustainability and things of that nature, these folks were all about it.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
The property, and they have this beautiful creek, if you will, running through it. Just you stepped away from where the tent was and everything. You stepped off to the side a little bit, and oh my gosh, little ripples and little mini waterfalls. And there was also this pool that you could actually go in, and people went in and just kind of submerged themselves. And it was very therapeutic. It was just beautiful. Just all right there, mountains in the background. Just the site itself was really beautiful.
That's great. That sounds like, I mean, you could tell from the pictures that it was very nice surroundings. And people really seem to love this family that ran that farm. There's a lot of good talk about them and a lot of photos. So that's
So, no, they were really nice. And they also had a guy doing Tai Chi in the morning right next to the brook. And he was a, I don't know if he lived there, but he was a definite friend of the family. And so several of the, you know, the cousins and several other people were there doing the Tai Chi class with this guy. So this guy, his name was Jesse, and that was his profession. He'd been a Tai Chi master or whatever you call it, sensei, whatever, for 40 years. He was fancy.
40 years. No. So you probably know the answer to this question. Well, I've seen some pictures of a poodle-looking dog. Whose was that?
That was little Jackson. That was Lisa, what's her name, Lisa Asta? That was her.
Okay.
Was her dog.
That was her dog. Okay.
Yeah,
very nice.
Her dog. So little Jackson was there, and one of the I'll just talk about one other highlight for me besides the nature stuff, which was really awesome, was Michelle did a dance class. She taught us to do the Rise dance from the global tour. We were the global girls and guys.
Yeah.
There were several guys, and she taught us. And she was wonderful. She taught us how to do that. And then during Todd's show on the last day, we had everybody kind of step away. We did a little flash mob deal of Rise. And it was so fun.
Okay, so Carol.
Yeah.
I think you missed the last one. But next time, maybe, no, were you there? You were there. Well, next time we do a Runga Radio party and we have Hermits or Secret Society, we will ask them to do Rise, and we will expect the people at Todd's Dock that were part of this deal to get up and be global girls. What do you think?
Not a problem. We were actually practicing at the RV site on our way home. So
I like it. That's awesome.
Well, so you did a flash mob of that. I also saw another flash mob of onomatopoeia. Were you part of that?
That is correct. Yes, I was. That was quite the production as well. Phaedra did a great job in really organizing this. And everyone, you know how many words are in that song that are the onomatopoeia words? There's like 57.
That's a lot.
I think there's like 57. So she had choreographed a whole, we had gloves that we had decorated with the word on it, and everyone held up that, and it was quite the thing. So obviously it was a very short song, so we had to do things quite in time, but it was very cute, and Todd and Michelle enjoyed it.
That's awesome. I remember the orchestra show.
I thought you guys had gloves. I wasn't sure. I couldn't tell, but that is cute.
Started,
just like you did
yeah.
with the orchestra show over in Amsterdam.
Yep. They had it here too, and they did in Akron as well. Rockford. He brought them. But it started in the Metropole shows. Too funny. Love that album, Hermit. Such a good album.
Yep.
All right, Carol. So tell us, we got, I don't know if it's Monica or Nancy, but we got one of the Ohio people on hold. What was your favorite moment of Toddstock East 7.0?
Well, besides Michelle and Chasm's class, the food. My Lord. It was awesome. They had the chef. Oh, he was so nice and so friendly, and everything was, oh my gosh, and I think everyone will agree with you. The food, every meal, the variety of food, the gourmet aspect, and then, oh my gosh, so the food was really fantastic. No one went hungry. everyone was happy. So I did not lose any weight on this particular trip.
I've heard really good things about the food, which is ironic because the last camp, the food seemed to be a problem. So, or maybe it was the one before that, but that's, you know, when you're doing an event for a week, like a all-inclusive or anything like that, one of the key factors is the food, and the fact that you guys had great food is a big A-plus for that event, and that's exciting. I'm glad that you got to do that. You got to have good food. Hopefully it'll be that way at the others, but that's always a winner because it sucks if you're there for a week and you don't have good food.
Yeah, and then did they take care of the vegans and vegetarians equally?
They did as best they could. You know, Lynn actually, Veggie Girl taught besides the art class, she taught a vegan living class. I know some of the things, you know, they definitely had a gumbo. They had, yeah, she did that. They had a gumbo in particular that I know they tried, you know, made for her. But yeah, the late night burgers, there was,
where's my gumbo?
Wasn't much there. But overall, I think everyone was very happy with the food.
Excellent. Carol, we appreciate the call and information. Right. Your dog's a pet from me, and I'll pet Diva from you. And,
sounds good.
Be a stranger. All right, Carol Beatty, peace out. All right, so we got one of our Ohio people. Mel, let's do a little betting here. Is it Nancy or is it Monica?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that.
Take a guess.
I'm going to go with Nancy.
All right, I'll go with Monica. Let's see. 330.
It's
who
Nancy.
Won? Nah, boo. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, guess what,
Nancy's
Doug?
A star of the Runger Radio Facebook page today. What a fantastic photo of Nancy Sashmar, excuse me.
Yeah, Doug,
thank you
guess
so
what?
Much.
We're
that
wrong.
Was so sweet to see that today.
That is a great photo. A great
yeah,
photo.
I'm pretty happy in that picture, as you can imagine.
No, you look miserable. You look like you were having a terrible time. Terrible time.
That is my one and only photo because the environment was so chillax. It was not like, oh, let me hurry up and get a picture with Todd, because he was just always with us.
Yeah,
so,
well, I don't know how anybody got a
yeah.
photo. Carolyn Sadal seemed to get all of them. Oh, goodness. That's good. Well, all right. Well, give us some scoop. What you got?
So what do you want to know about?
Well, you were in charge. Mel, you're going to get to ask the question because you told me you were. Mel is very interested in something that you did, so Mel, give it up.
I am. I was intrigued, as all get out, about this inflatable art installation. And I know you worked really, really hard, and you weren't familiar with the land and where to do all this and then move it to the pond and all that. But what a great idea. And did Todd get a grasp of what all the inflatables meant?
Yes, and he absolutely loved it. And I have to give props first to Phaedra and Sue. They created the buzz, which got so many people. I wanted something that people could participate in because none of us can really build things like at Burning Man. So I figured, okay, but we can all pack an inflatable, you know. That's where
mm-hmm.
the idea came from, and the girls generated, I think, like 68 people participated.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
There were, but I will tell you, there's people who will tell me now, oh, my gosh, I'm so busy, I never got mine inflated. That's how busy, that's how, I mean, 2 days, I and my team inflated these things. There
Y'all had
was
an automated
a
system, though, right, to do that. You didn't. Manually, I hope, blow this up, right?
No. We brought a
compressor.
Generator. We had three inflatable inflators. We had Mark had his air compressor. But we did kind of work as a team. Like, you know, everyone, like, we all gathered around a picnic table, did it. We first tried doing it in the heat of our tent, and people were, like, literally dying. So that was heat wave day Monday, I think. It was very sickful. We had fun inflating. And then because of the heat, it ended up coming to, like, let's install it right here at the fence. And it actually worked out well because people, it made the fence much more colorful. and it helped people not to actually walk into the fence. Because the fence Yeah, we had many drunken people kind of like trying to find their way to the tent and walking into the fence. So
it
was a safety. It was a safety item.
There you go, look at you. Extra bonus.
Why did you decide? I mean, I kind of think the pond would have been the better idea, but you know, of course, the safety issue. I get that, but you decided at one point to move it to a pond or a creek or something.
Yes. Yeah. Well. We were going to do installations at different, like almost the far extended areas of the property, but it was way too hot. This was like dangerous heat. And I just decided you can't take all these people there without any water, without any shade. So that's why we did the installation at the fence. We did the installation under the tiki hut. That's where you guys were represented with the whole Tiki Island hut from Rundgren Radio. And then on Friday, Todd wanted to float on the floats.
Nice. I haven't seen any pictures of that.
Yes, we will.
I'll have some, I guess.
From captivity. And it was really very enjoyable to float on them. And actually, members of his family, they really had a ball. John Gray, Claudia, mm-hmm. These are relatives. Oh my God, they were hilarious. Everybody had fun in the pond. That was Friday.
Yeah, the Grays
so
are
they
great.
Actually floated on some of these floats.
Oh yeah. First it was an art installation, which okay, Mel, like now I can add this to my resume, Nancy Sackmar art installation. no, but it was beautiful. And then it was practical, and we used it to float and enjoy ourselves.
That's so great. I just thought, I was just, you know, I don't want to make it about me, but I'm going to another Todd Stock later on in the year, and I'm thinking, what can I contribute? I can't possibly come up with a decent idea like that. I just think that was amazing. You did good.
Aww. Well, just chat with me. I'll help you brainstorm something.
There you go, Nancy the creative type.
You're going to Australia, so it has to be packable. You know, you got to figure in all those factors.
But anything can storm. I can ship anything, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
we'll
Nancy.
Talk later.
We'll talk later. Yeah.
It's a big deal, and we'll probably thought about and remember the most that Todd participated in your floaty activity. But to me, what stands out is that you created an idea that 68 people, which is a large portion of the people that went to this event, were willing to participate in. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that you are a good person and Todd fan.
Yes, and, you know, as Todd has always said for the last 10 years plus, is he wants the fans to make it happen.
Yep.
So
right.
you took that message to heart. Good for you.
Props.
Yeah, well, I wanted it to be inclusive. Like, I never met Sue and Phaedra, and I actually picked them to help me because I'd never met them.
Nice.
I actually chose them for that reason, to make it inclusive. And I wanted as many people to participate as possible in making art in our limited way, you know, and I think it was really, you know, successful. So I'm really happy with it. Yeah.
My next question is, I understand at least some of the inflatables were left behind and given to the family that owns the farm. They had children, right?
Yes. I think
so they'll make good use of those things.
Oh my God. Those kids were adorable. Where the tiki hut was, your installation and all of that stuff, the little tiny kids would play in there every day. They were in there, and they just thought this was, what is this, manna from God? Who brought all these fun inflatable toys for us? You know, they were so cute. And then the teenage kids in the pond were really funny because they always gravitated to the pot leaves to float on. And the parents are like, no, don't you think you need to go on this golden goose instead? You know, and they're like, you know, trying to. And here's the Todd fan saying, I don't think that's a pot leaf. I think that's an Ohio Buckeye leaf.
That's a poison ivy.
Like, yeah.
Poison ivy. So, Alan Miro would know.
Yeah.
Can I ask?
Yeah. The Colemans will be enjoying, about 100 floats for a while now. So they're going to have fun with those. Yeah.
Wow. Good
so, Nancy,
job,
we got,
Nancy.
Yeah. We
thank
got
you,
508 on hold is Illinois, I think. But maybe I'm wrong. No, Michigan, I think. Okay, so tell us what your number one moment was at Toddstock 7.0.
All right, well, obviously it has to be the success of seeing the giant guitars and the giant golden goose and Todd like being like thrilled with all of that. That was fun. But I will tell you, on a side note, I took an improv acting class with Don Slovin.
Okay, Don Slovin, yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. It was an acting class, and we had a ball. It was a really good time.
Yeah. Slovin. I imagine he had a great time. He got to play music probably nonstop at this deal, which is right up the alley.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, that's fantastic news, and we're glad you had a good time. Appreciate all the scoopage. And
thanks
for
you
calling
all.
Us.
Thanks, guys.
Sorry, it didn't work out. We couldn't do it live, Doc, but you know how it is.
No
Wi-Fi.
No, this is even better. We were
distracted
with too many things. Much better.
Yeah.
We're glad that, you know, that it actually worked out this way, because you would have had to skip some of the, I don't know, happy hour or dinner or something to be on our show. So it worked out just fine.
It worked out great. Yeah.
So, Nancy, would you encourage others to attend one of the next three Toddstocks?
Oh, absolutely. If I hadn't committed to something, I'd be like looking up airfare for California probably right now. Because the vibe of this was really joyful. So, you know, no pretense, little love fest. I don't know how to describe it, but it's what we all want in an experience like this.
That's
it's like
great.
One Grid Radio weekends, but for a week.
For a week with Todd. That's pretty cool.
With Todd.
Todd. All right. Well, that's cool stuff. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay. Love you guys. Okay.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye now.
Ohio people.
Bye.
It's all good. All right. We're going to come back to
Bye.
Ohio now. We will be in Ohio again. 508, you are with us. Massachusetts, maybe? Boston?
Hello there. It's not a lady, it's a guy. But I could change
lady
Motes. Gender if you like.
No, I didn't say it was a gal. Boston. Boston area.
There
Great.
You go.
Great. I saw you
Except
doing an interview with Todd, but I hadn't heard much about that. What was that about?
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, because there's so many things about this event that literally blow my mind. We've been talking about the Coleman family that owned the farm.
Yeah.
I think half of the people that were at the Friday night concert never got the message that after the fan band people, the Eclectic Eels, who didn't get to play Thursday night because the storm that came through completely wiped out the stage for Thursday night, they came on Friday evening early. And then between them and Todd's show, the Coleman family has a band, and it's awesome. And they opened for Todd.
Hey, do you know,
I'm
were
serious.
They familiar with who Todd Rundgren is before people descended upon their farm?
Yeah, I didn't get to talk with them about that, unfortunately, because I was busy 7 hours every day in the rehearsal room doing sound with the sound system I brought down so that the Electric Eels and Secret Society could be really, really tight when they got on the main stage at night. So I never got to actually meet them. I saw them walking around. But when they came on stage Friday night, I said, who the hell is that? And that's when somebody leaned over and told me that it was this is the family that owns the land we're on. Oh, my goodness. I was blown away. So there's a perspective. I'd also like to talk about the weather that was down there. On Thursday, everything was completely wiped out on main stage, and so all the rehearsal that had gone on over at the Sedalia Center was for naught because none of the people who rehearsed over there got to perform until Friday late afternoon when main stage started off early. But all of that information, all of that activity, I've had a drink or two, all of that activity happened over at Sedalia Center. It was like the educational center. It was like the arts center for Todd Stock 7.0. That's where Kasim did his stuff. That is where Greg did his stuff. Here's a piece of information that nobody's talked about. Prairie Prince painted a stand-up piano with the art from Something Anything. He spent hours on it with a couple of helpers, and on
yeah,
Saturday
Veggie Girls
morning,
in on that. I saw that. That thing was perfect. Perfect.
It was.
And Saturday morning, when I was taking down my gear and loading it in the car, I got the call. I said, "We need some muscle to help us get this piano back up on its feet." So I ran over there, and I was one of the people that helped get that thing back up on its wheels. And I'm here to tell you that when Sedalia Center has other events there, people are going to look at that thing, and everybody's going to say, "What the heck is that?"
So that piano actually belongs to the center.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, cool.
But they gave us permission to do it. It's a very interesting situation down there because it's sort of a public organization that's community service oriented. And I want to give a shout out to Linda in the office because she was the person who got the people on the board of directors for the Sedalia Center connected with the people who were there on the Todd side and kept the peace and made everything work so that the event turned out to be great for everybody. She was probably the person who got the permission to allow Prairie to paint their piano.
Well, what is the Sedalia Center? Is it a concert hall? Is it just with classroom? It looked kind of like classrooms or something.
Well, it's very interesting. It was a small community school back in the day. And when they built a larger school, here was this building that was still in pretty good shape that just couldn't handle all of the young people that the families had, and there it was. And so I don't know the history behind how it transferred into a community service center, but they have all kinds of things. I may be speaking out of line here, but every year at the time of Todd Stock 7, before this year, over the previous years, they have had a bluegrass festival.
Okay.
That bluegrass festival was moved out of the facility and went someplace else to make room for Todd's 7.0 Todd Stock event.
So it, could any of the campers and whatnot go over there and sit in the air conditioning for an hour or two and just chill out?
They were encouraged to, and there were buses that went back and forth on a regular schedule. That is where Greg had all of his ukulele stuff. That is where Prairie had all of his art stuff. There were several other really wonderful arts and crafts episodes that happened over there every day. That place was full of Todd people.
Okay. Well, it did look like a nice little change of scenery if you were hot and tired and wanted to go cool off for a little bit. Hey, tell me about, because we don't have Carolyn Siddall calling in tonight, at least I don't believe so, these life-size Todd and Michelle dolls. Do you know the story? Did she chip those over?
They were hilarious.
They were huge.
They were life size and maybe plus about 5%. They were plus 5% because when you're trying to pack a fabric tube with something to fill it out, there's no way to give it the shape that a human being's bone structure will give it. So, yeah, it was both of those things were just a little bit larger than life, and they kind of wouldn't stand up on their own, so they kind of lolled around like they were hay stoned on their ass. That's what it looked like.
And they were draped across a geodesic dome, right?
Exactly. At one point, they actually moved around from time to time. I saw them in a couple of different places. I mean, remember, I didn't get to be on site during the day, a large part of the day, because I was over there with Jamie and, you know, Secret Society keeping together the electric eel and getting ready for that night. But every time I went over there, they were there. And it was just a fun piece of the environment. There were so many different blow-up things. There were a handful of cows standing up by one of.
Uh-oh, we lost Grady for sure.
Cows. I like scotch taped $5 bills to them. I give them tips.
Why?
I think Grady's battery's dead. Grady, man, you're.
I was having fun. Are you kidding me?
No, I mean your cell phone's going in and out or something. Like your battery's down or you're in a bad spot.
I'm not on a cell phone. I'm on a hardwire line, but I'm on one of those things that you wear on your ear, and I'm just shouting.
We can hear you now. Yeah, you disappear for a second. We're good. Keep going.
Another thing, the food chef. Michael was responsible for that, and every night that man had a different menu. It was, you know, he had New Orleans one night, and I had some of that. Unfortunately, I was on Lyme disease treatment the whole time I was down there, so I didn't get to drink much, and I had to be careful about spicy food because the doxycycline that I was on kind of messes up your digestive system, so you have to be careful what you eat. But Chef Michael was there morning and afternoon, and he was behind that counter making sure that everybody who was getting served food was getting exactly what they wanted. I've never seen anybody work as hard as he did.
Good for him. Yeah, I've heard nothing but great reviews. Oh,
well,
so tell us about the night, or I don't know if it was night or if it was breakfast or what, but that Todd and Michelle and Rex and the whole family literally fed you guys.
Say that again.
Apparently there was one night where Todd and Michelle and Rex actually served you guys. That was that planned out, or did they just run out of kitchen help or something?
No, I don't know that anything there was planned. I believe that, try to follow my logic here, having rubbed shoulders at that event and also up in Vermont with Todd and Michelle, they just want to be involved. They want to turn it into a family event. And, yes, they were serving food one night behind Chef Michael's gear there. It was awesome. I can't remember whether it was breakfast or dinner, but it was everything about this event was so warm and friendly and intimate that we were just like, you know, hundreds of people, all of whom were best friends and siblings. And Todd and Michelle insisted on being a part of every little piece of it that they could.
One big happy family. Yeah, great. Grady, man, that's good stuff. We appreciate it, brother.
All right. Great talking with you. And, wow, you've only got 20 minutes left. You better get some.
I know. Well, I messed up. I started the show earlier than I thought I did. But I know everybody appreciates, too, the help that you did with sound and stuff. And you are the man, brother.
You always are.
That's right.
Yep.
Brady Motes, Boston.
Motes.
So we got. So I apologize. It's my fault, and I don't know why. Things are crazy. I'm not gonna get into it, but I started the show at 7 instead of 7:30. I started at 8 Eastern instead of 8:30 Eastern, so we lost 30 minutes. We got 19 minutes.
Yeah, we still have 20 minutes live, so let's go to the next caller.
We've got Veronica on hold. That's the only person, I think, that's trying to talk to us. Yes, she's going to tell us. I'm gonna preempt her here. I'm gonna give her a segue, I guess. Yoga with Todd Tech, Michelle. We already talked about Michelle Global Lessons. We've already talked about Chasm Seminar, Art Room, Fan Band Rehearsal Room, and a story that she promises will entertain everybody. So, without further ado, Veronica Moreno.
Not a story that will entertain everybody, but that entertained me, and I'm blown away.
I want to put the
pressure
Veronica.
On you.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Mel. How are you? You know, I really missed you this last week.
Well,
Aww. We
definitely missed a good one.
We have
no
our
doubt.
Own time to go have a good time. Trust me.
I know it. My first talk sucked, and the most amazing time of my life. I'm going to share, if you will let me, just two out of many amazing things that happened this past week. Number one, let's see, fan band. So I was invited to sing backup again, which was great. From Cleveland, I guess I was okay, so they allowed me to do it again, you know?
Yeah.
Stepping up to the stage, not realizing I had been assigned to sing the backup for two songs. One was The Cars, it was Not Tonight. And when I was going to sing backup, when it was my turn, you have to switch out, and it was dangerous because it was really raining and slippery. I had to go up this ramp, and I was worried about, like, walking up the thing to begin with. But I see Chasm going up on the stage. And I said to Bruce Whetstone, who, as already been told, was the master of all this coming together, I don't know, did they add another song in there? You know, Chasm's up on the stage. Do I have to wait? Oh, no, it's not tonight. Just go up there. I'm like, cool. Chasm came out to actually play guitar for me tonight. Anyway, so that was the surprise.
Wait, what do you mean? I don't understand.
Well, I went up to on stage to sing backup for the Cars song, Not Tonight. And much to my surprise, Chasm is there playing the guitar on the stage as part of join the fan band. And so I actually sang backup right next to Chasm, who was playing on the same stage, and it was awesome.
You didn't know he was going to be there.
No, I had no idea.
I mean, this is something, too. This is something we ought to touch on for a second. Because Jamie had talked to me a little bit about this. These folks that Todd brought in, these special guests, I would call them, Chasm, Greg, Prairie, Bobby, these are some of the best people you'll ever meet. And if you're a musician, and I'm not, but I get it, I can watch and see, I can comprehend the situation, is that you are going to get something from them. If you go to these events, you're gonna learn something, or you're gonna get to perform with them. Something happens. They're just the best people, best musicians. Todd picked some of the greatest people, and I love it seeing that Secret Society got to play with Chasm, Prairie, Bobby, Greg, and you got to play with Chasm. That's a pretty big deal. That's pretty cool. You can't find another musician community where that kind of thing really happens. I don't know of
it
one
was.
Anyway.
And then the other one that it's just me personally. I mean, not to blow my horn because I'm not. I'm just saying I was there singing backup, and this happened.
That's
and
awesome.
When we sang Rebel Rebel, Todd is down on the side. I didn't even know he was there. He's dancing and jamming out to the song and dancing. I mean, it was just amazing. It was great. And you're right. People are people, and we just love to being together. And it was just all a very communal event. And, I mean, I can't just say enough about how important and not memorable, but just incredible that whole week was.
So are you going to go to any more?
We asked I think it was Rick Yarborough at the beginning of the show, asked him about this holy powder paint, whatever, towards the end of Todd's talk.
No, I didn't go to the holy event, but I know what it is. It's from India, I believe, and
yes.
It's like sort of a celebration of colors, of a celebration of an event that everybody just throws these colorful paints at each other, and it's just, you know, you have fun, you're all different colors, you're getting hippie and whatnot. But
is it actually paint, or is it? It looked like a chalk.
No, it's
kind
not
of.
Paint. It's an organic color that's mixed in with cornstarch.
Okay. Do you know whose idea it was to do that? Was that a Todd idea, or where did it come from?
I'm not sure, but I know Lisa Asta pretty much put together those colors.
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
I'm going to guess.
It looked really cool. It looked like y'all had a big old food fight.
Basically, that's what it was. If you can imagine back when you were in camp, when you were a younger child, if you ever went to, like, color wars, you know, they would slap you with flour and water and just on your face and on your body. It's sort of that kind of a deal, but I wasn't there because I was back at the hotel packing up to leave the next day. So
Veggie Girl, who has been to India recently, has told us to pronounce it correctly is Holly.
Holly.
So it's a celebration. I did read a little bit on it. I read enough to know it was a great idea whoever came up with it for Todd's talk. It's a very fitting for Todd's talk, no doubt about it.
It just seemed like a perfect ending, even if it had not actually had any meaning behind it. The pictures of Todd and Michelle covered in those colors, they just look so joyful. It's just
the
wonderful.
Pictures say it all. You know, who needs to talk about it? It's just been amazing.
I think it's something. I think it's a good deal to read up on and get educated about. It's a pretty important celebration, and it's very interesting if you check it out. But I digress. Tell us about, you'd mentioned in the chat room about Susie's yoga. Tell us a little bit about that. And we have Veggie Girl, thanks.
I
hold too.
I didn't go to Susie's yoga because I was busy practicing with the fan band. But a lot of people said how beautiful and gracious she really was and taught people.
Oh, I'm sure. What was Todd Tech? In Todd Tech, what does that mean?
Oh, the Todd Tech class. Well, it wasn't really a class. The Todd Tech was more of a discussion with a colleague of his, and at this moment his name escapes me, although I spoke to him last week, but they've known each other for 30 years, and they actually met at one of the technology trade shows that Todd was presenting his software and his inventions at years ago. And what they did was they had a discussion about all of Todd's firsts. You know, he's invented, an amazing amount of things for, like, you know, we all know about the Apple, I don't even know what it's called. I'm not a tech person, so I don't have those things in my head, but it's basically the crux to having videos
on
TV. And invented on a tablet, that's right. And he's invented all these things, and I was like, why on earth doesn't he have the rights to these things? I don't know, because he's been the first to invent all of these things, and a lot of them, over the years. So it was interesting, and they showed the videos from chronological order back from the late 70s up until the early 90s. It was very interesting, very.
Good stuff.
And I saw that the Coleman dog actually came to the class.
He
did,
Coleman
Jackson.
Dog. That was Lisa Asta's dog named Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Why do I get that wrong? I'm sorry. Hey, sorry, Lisa.
Carol told us that.
The dog is really old. She just, like, kind of lays down and watches everything that's going on.
No.
But Jackson's cool. He actually does like stretches to Global Dancing when Michelle's out there.
We're gonna have him do Rise at the next R party. Hey, Veronica, appreciate the call. We got, because of my, it's my fault, I'm going to take ownership of it. We got about less than 10 minutes. We're going to get Veggie Girl on. We're going to wrap it up. We'll do another one if y'all want to keep talking.
Go on, okay.
You got a week's worth of stuff to explain to everybody who didn't go. We want to hear more about it. We're excited everybody loved it and that it went off so well. And we hope the next three are just as good or better, whatever. Fun stuff. Great pictures. It just looked like a great success. So appreciate the call, Veronica.
God get podcast. See you at the radio event.
Maybe so. All right.
Next time. Bye-bye. If there's... Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah. No, I mean, you know, for someone like Veronica or anybody, backup singer, musician, whatever you are, guitar player, you get to play with some of Todd's best sidemen, Kaz and Bob. It's just, I can imagine, even though I'm not part of it, that that's got to be just cool as hell. All right.
it would make
she didn't
my
play
stomach.
Drums with Prairie, but she got to teach a class with Prairie, which is cool as hell, too. The Veggie Girl. Veggie, you got 8 minutes and 50 seconds. We're going to give you the floor to tell us everything you want.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, it was, I think like Rick said, when I came on, when Rick was talking, it was impossible to do it all. And I found myself spending the days in the art room and the blue room because, one, it was air conditioned. So that was huge. I don't do well with 100 degree heat.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to go on the record and say the piano was not Prairie et al. That was a collaborative effort. And Grady didn't know, so it's not his fault because he was down doing his thing on the farm all week. It was basically, for the most part, it was four of us. Prairie and I came up with the concept. His idea was the something, anything mirrored image on the,
mm-hmm.
the piano, and I said, you sure you don't want to do just the something, anything in the middle? Because it's harder to paint than it looks. And he considered it for about a half a second. He said, no, I want to frame it. And he was absolutely right, because it came out amazing. And I wanted to write Light of the World, Shine on Me, Love is the Answer. And I also wanted to put plumeria flowers on there as an homage to Todd's homeland of Hawaii. So it ended up pretty much all coming together. And Todd, because I was working on the piano so much during the week, I was able to sit in on a lot of classes because that's where the piano was. It was called the Blue Room. And so Chasm, the first one I saw was Chasm's, and he wanted to do something. He was teaching talking about how he wrote Set Me Free. And he said, this is really easier to demonstrate on a piano, but the piano was on its back. So I told him he was welcome to try, but he didn't. That would have been kind of funny, though. And then I sat in for one of Susie's yoga classes because it was in there. And she's a really good yoga teacher. I was really impressed because she's working with people of all kinds of abilities. And she was, she was as good as any yoga instructor I've ever worked with. So that was kind of cool.
Remember when she went through school for that? You know, she went to school to get all that certified
and
whatnot.
Yeah, oh, I know. I know she's certified, but, you know, you have good teachers and bad teachers. And, I figured she'd be a good one, but I can attest I've seen it. And she's a very good teacher.
So, Veggie Girl.
Yeah.
Tell us about Holi.
Well, I mean, Holi is a celebration in India that happens in March. It is a celebration of the end of winter. So it's just, it's a festival in the streets, and they just throw the color powder. And I wasn't there for that because I was there in winter. And I, coming from the States, I don't know why anyone would want to celebrate the end of winter in India, because that's when the temperatures go from really comfortable to really hot.
Yeah.
So, it was like 80 degrees when I was there, and then it goes up to 100, 115, you know, when in the summertime. But and I couldn't participate when they did it the other day because I made a birthday card for my mom because her birthday is the same day as Todd's. So I quick made a birthday card and had a lot of people sign it, and they were throwing all this powder around when I was walking around with this card. So I did have Todd sign it. So it's that birthday card's a collector's item now.
What I'm reading is that Holly, this is why I think it makes sense at Toddstock, whoever came up with this idea.
I think it was Lisa Oscar. It's a
festival of love or colors that signifies the victory of superior over immoral.
Okay, well, you know more about it than I do.
I read a little few things on it, and everything I read about it was sort of central to some of the themes of Todd's music, and I think whoever came up with it realized that festival made sense for Toddstock. That's my opinion.
Absolutely.
Based on what I'm reading.
No, that's again. I think it was Lisa. I think Mary France might have had. Was going to do it too. I'm pretty sure I remember her saying she was going to bring a bunch of powder, but she was one of the last minute cancelers. So I don't.
Here's the funny thing, is like some of these words that Todd uses in these. I mean, even this letter he said about Todd's like day. I'm like, geez, I got to get a dictionary out for half of these words. we'll get educated about this event and learn a little bit more about it because I think it's a pretty big deal, you know, and a deep insight for them when they celebrate this thing. So anyway, we'll get into that another time. But I hate it that you didn't get to be a part of it. Since you were just an idiot, it probably would have been kind of fun.
Yeah, well, I didn't like I've learned that they couldn't get it out of their hair.
Funny? I noticed that people, Alan Miro, I'm going to give him shit about it, and a couple of others. They're in photos with Todd and Michelle with all this stuff on them, but they're clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens. But anyway.
I don't know either.
Yeah,
at least one of those pictures, and there were several taken of Todd, covered in that pink powder, purple powder.
They're
great.
I mean, I saw
it needs
thing.
To
they
be on an album cover. Awesome.
Yeah, they're great pictures. And the Shaw Better Brothers. So, Veggie, we got 2 minutes live. We can keep going into archive, but our people are still listening. What was your favorite moment of the week?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. I could harken back to Jamie because Susan St. James asked me to sign her her project that she worked on in the art room in the art class, which I thought was really sweet.
Yeah.
She did a drum head. Pray about it, a bunch of drum heads. And the people that said they'd never done art before, I just loved how they were just willing to throw caution to the wind and try it. And everybody seemed to have a really great time. You know, people often say to me and Prairie have talked about this. People will say, I can't even draw a straight line. And we're like, well, have you tried? So, yeah. They tried. and they all seemed to, just sort of get out of their comfort zone a little bit. And Susan did a really beautiful drum head. And so she was really proud of her and really proud of everyone who just seemed to really enjoy themselves. I heard a beep.
Sorry, that's my phone. I'm sorry.
Sorry. So that's a little warning. We got about a minute left. That's great. But I saw some of the plates and stuff. I thought it was very creative what you guys did, and I know
those
it was a black fan.
Oh, yeah,
another thing where you go, okay, here's somebody, Todd Seidman is a pretty big deal, Prairie, and he's just out there hanging with the fans and hooking them up, teaching them stuff. I mean,
yeah.
it's such a great.
He loved it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Absolutely. Good stuff. Well, look, we got to do this again because we clearly didn't get enough of the whole story. And we'll have to get some more from you,
babe. I'll talk about the piano, too, but yeah.
Yeah, I want to know about the piano. I want to know about, we want to get to maybe get into the chef with you and see how that went for you and some different stuff. But the main thing is, we got 9 seconds left, Toddstock East was a huge success. Congratulations to Mark Mo Bagley. Congratulations to everybody who took the time to go. And,
oh, yeah, well done.
Well done. So we'll have another show. And Veggie Girl, we will make you the first caller.
Awesome.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Cool. Are you getting an unpredictable show in your town?
No, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go. Albany is the closest. It's 4 hours
Albany.
Away.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll finish on that note. If you don't know, Todd's doing a tour of unpredictable shows. Go to our website, rungrenradio.com. Go to the tour page. It'll take you to EJ's page, and you can see all the shows. There's going to be a bunch of them all over the country, including West Coast. Pre-sale for West Coast, I think, starts tomorrow. The password is RUNT. So good luck with that. And Veggie, we appreciate the insight, and I hate it we had to cut it short, but we'll do it again.
No worries. Yeah, absolutely.
Congrats on the successful art class.
Thank you.
You know what? Well, and let's save it. So remember, when we come back, let's talk about your vegan class, because we didn't even get to talk about that.
All right.
I don't want to do that in archives. Right. I want to do that live so we can get feedback in the chat. All right. Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
See you.
Good night.
It's every Todd song ever made, and then some. Streaming live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the world. It's all Todd all the time.
Hello, it's me.
Hi, I'm Todd Rundgren.
The Todd Rundgren Music Channel on ToddFans.com.
Ready to take your career to the next level? With an online master's in communication and leadership studies from Gonzaga University, you'll push boundaries, think critically, and sharpen your communication skills. Visit gonzaga.edu/sharpen.